Next step number 806, September 21st, 2025. That's Independence, isn't it?
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries, welcoming you again to another episode of the Next Step podcast with Father Vosgen. With these podcasts, Father Vosgen provides a very distinct and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. We produce these shows for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course, the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient orthodoxy. So we invite you to sit back, turn up the volume, and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, welcome. Glad you're with us today. Yeah, we're one day off from the equinoxes, the autumnal equinox. Tomorrow, the 22nd. Today's the 21st. Happens to be Armenian Independence Day. Independence, an idea that, you know, up until today, I've always talked about Armenian independence within the context of American independence. United States, the founding of the United States. If you go back to my podcast, you know, there's like this little connection that I try to make, because I realize and I recognize that whatever I see in my life, just as whatever you see in your life, is being influenced by many, many factors, including where you're from, the environment in which you've been brought up. And I admit that, hey, you know, I've been brought up here in America. I've been born and raised here. And so I've always looked at Armenia and taken a look at that the last 35 years since independence, 34 years, 1991, in the context of where were we as the United States 34 years into independence. But today I'm looking at it in a different way, because I'm seeing what's going on here in the United States, and especially now with the issues that are coming about freedom of speech. Let me just say it this way. Today you had a choice to turn me on or turn me off. I'm going to tell you that a majority of the people have turned me off or have never turned me on, right? I mean, if you don't want to hear what I have to say right now, you could press the button and I'm off. It's over. Up until today, I just assumed everybody got that everybody kind of knew that really, if you don't want to hear something, if you don't like it, you have the freedom, you have the ability to turn it off. And so it was really, really interesting and surprising and shocking to me when, over the last few weeks, these comedians from late night television here in the United States have been censored, taken off. The first one was Stephen Colbert a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, he was told that his show was canceled. Now, you know what? To me, I didn't care for his humor. I didn't care for him. And I never watched him. Yeah, I would see him here and there. They'd play little clips, maybe on social media, something like that. But I never watched one of his shows because I didn't particularly care for his brand of humor, what he had to say. So I consciously made a choice of turning that off, right? Then comes along Jimmy Kimmel, where they just say they're just silencing him, and then they take him off. Now, you may think these are small little things, these are late-night comedians, but they signal a true concern that everybody should have in America. Like, what is the reach of government? We know that freedom of speech has always, always had certain parameters around it, and the most classic one that is always spoken about is the man yelling fire in a crowded theater. You have the freedom to say whatever you want, but you cannot say fire in a crowded theater. It's against the law. Why? Because it creates panic, pandemonium, and it endangers a group of people. So there are rules. There are parameters around speech that can endanger people. But on basic ideas, the exchange of ideas, you have the choice. You have the choice to turn it on or off. I would say that's the reason why we are not a multinational podcast that is reaching out to millions of people. A lot of people just aren't interested. Okay, so you turn it off or you don't turn it on in the first place. But to create rules and regulations is getting to be a little bit scary. Not a little bit, quite scary, because it's signaling that there are no more checks and balances. You see, in the United States, and when you look at the Constitution, it's just a brilliant piece of writing, the United States Constitution. But I think what happened recently, it's showing us that there are flaws that need to be addressed. And in particular, when all three branches of government are controlled by the same group of people, then you don't have any checks and balances. So for just a real quick way, at least this is how I understand it, and I think a lot of people will agree if it's a very simplistic way of looking at it, but you have these three branches of government, executive, legislative, and judicial. And each of them can check and balance the other one. There are certain rights and responsibilities for each of those branches. And in this case, where we have it right now, where we have all three branches being controlled by the same political party, and judicial people will argue, they'll say that there is no politics there. But when you have the same person who has put in place, has appointed a number of people who have the same background, namely conservative background, where is that free exchange of ideas and where is the check and balance? Well, up until now, it was what was called the fourth estate, and that was journalism, that was newspapers, that was media that would follow along. And true journalism was to bring up the questions. I'm not talking about yellow journalism, which is a branch in itself, you know, people who thrive on finding faults and making up stuff. But there are true journalists. I don't care what people tell you, there are true journalists, people who really care about getting a story out. And if you don't believe me, who would put their life on the line for something that's fake? And I'm talking about journalists who go out and they stand right on the front lines of war, of disaster, of famine, of disease. And they're out there putting their lives out on the line to get information out. So what good is that information if it's not being listened to, if it's not being heard? And that's really where we're at right now, because there's so much going on that I think people are just overloaded and you don't know what to filter out. And so enter in the editors, people who will say, these are the things. And if you spend any time on the internet, if you open up a browser right away, you get certain bits and pieces of news, depending on what browser you're using. If you open up a social media account, depending on the algorithms they use and what you've clicked on, what you haven't clicked on, they're going to supply you with certain bits and pieces. These are called editorial prerogative, and no different than, say, like a newspaper. A newspaper, there's thousands of bits of information coming out, and they edit it, and they say, this is what we feel is important for you to hear today. Much like if you want to look at it, think of the Gospels, right? The Gospels, it says clearly that Jesus did so much more. But we couldn't write it all here. So there it is. This is what we got. We got the four Gospels that give us the story of Jesus. He did many, many more things. But an editor, namely the evangelist who wrote the Gospels, they have decided that these are the things that are going to be preserved and are going to come through to us. Editorials, editing is just part of life. People edit things. Parents do it all the time, right? There's stuff you don't want your children to get their hands on. Okay, so you edit these things out. This is nothing that is unusual. What is unusual is making the laws that govern those things, that govern those editorials. For me, it's always been like, okay, if a piece of, there's thousands of magazines come out, or websites that come out. If I don't want it, if I don't want to read it, just turn it off. If I don't want to read it, don't subscribe. That's how easy it is. But we are in an unusual place where whether you subscribe or not, it's being thrown at you. It's coming at you. Charlie Kirk, tragic assassination. And anybody at that age with children dying, it's a tragedy. But it's all in how you're going to perceive this thing. I got a call last week from some people, very kind people, and they said a group of Armenians are gathering in Glendale for a vigil to remember Charlie Kirk. And I refused to go to it, not because I didn't mourn a loss of somebody. And honestly, I didn't know what he stood for. I've never been a follower of him. I've heard of him. But the reason I didn't go is because where have we been as Armenians on Gaza? Where have been our vigils for the children who've died in Gaza? How come we're not organizing vigils? We're not organizing mass rallies to mourn the death of the innocent, because we have put we have categorized them and we have put a hierarchy of what is important. And basically, the children, the Palestinians, are low on that hierarchy. We don't pay attention to them. And so there's tens of thousands that have died in Gaza, but we aren't interested to the extent that we would uncomfort ourselves. But you have one person who has been assassinated, and you got thousands of people coming and rallying and asking for vigils and making noise. Am I saying that that's wrong? No, you should. You should mourn it. But put it in perspective. And what I'm saying here is nothing new. I've been saying this now for the last 2 years. And it's an indictment on our church, too, for its silence, especially the Armenian church, who very well knows what genocide is. And a genocide is taking place right now, and we're being quiet on it. If you didn't get a chance to listen to the last two interviews, please do. They're on the next step. Yeah, the last two interviews. We are guilty by being quiet about this. You know, we always look at that passage in Matthew chapter 25 as the passage of the great judgment. And Jesus says, in the end, I will come and I will separate the lamb from the lamb from the goat, the sheep from the goat. And then he says basically that I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was in prison, you visited me. And people say, when did we see you like that? He says, when you did the least to the least of my brothers, you have done it to me. Now, we always go on that, right? In this case, we're guilty of the second part of this. Nobody talks about that. I was hungry and you did not feed me. I was a stranger and you did not visit me. I was going through genocide and you kept silent. I mean, it's like a repeat of not only the Armenian scene, but every other genocide that's gone on. And we say, how could this happen? Well, it happened. And it's happening right now. So where is our vigil for these tens of thousands of people that have died? Where is our vigil? What I'm saying is that we've got to stop being selective. Let's honor people, everybody, every person is a child of God. You know, this whole idea that comes to us from the Old Testament, that there's select people that are worthy of God's attention and not others. You know, this is bizarre. If you want to believe in a God of the universe, a God who created all human beings, a God who Jesus taught us to say, our Father, not my Father, but our Father, everyone, the Father of all, then how could you go on to believe that God is selective? No, it's a crime of genocide that's taking place, and we're silent. The crime is now coming to us. Much like St. Paul says, I boast of the cross. I'm crucified in the world, and the world is crucified in me. There's this idea that we are all one. And instead of using these moments of tragedy to unite people, it's wrong for us to find division and accent those divisions. Yes, it's wrong. Because in the end, all we're doing is we're hurting ourselves. You know, Charlie Kirk, since he passed away, I've been listening to a few of his speeches. He was an excellent debater. But there were flaws in his Christianity. Flaws in the way he presented Christianity. Now, that's because I am coming from a unique perspective from the Armenian Church. Now, you talk to a Protestant, he'll say, "That's he was right on the money." Well, yeah, because he looks at me and he says, "You've got it wrong." Now, we've got to find some common ground there, right? Not division. St. Nerses Shnor Ali, I learned this back in seminary, back in the 70s. When I was in a communist country going to seminary, believe it or not, I was in Armenia at a seminary in a communist country in the Soviet Union. And this one little formula I can never forget. It was very important in my life then, and it is right now. Nerses Shnor Ali, the great saint of the Armenian Church, Catholicos, theologian, he says, unity in essentials, liberty in secondary items, and in all things, charity or love. Now, think about that for a moment, okay? As an Orthodox Christian, as a Roman Catholic, and as a Protestant, what is the essential that you have to be united in? Jesus Christ is Lord, right? Take the Nicene Creed. Here's the Nicene Creed. We believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the universal church. Okay, there is your formula. Can we be united on that? I think yes, Roman Catholic, Orthodox, Protestants to some extent, perhaps maybe different understanding of what the church is, but basically the essentials we are united in. Liberty and secondary issues. Which are the secondary issues? Well, we have one that's very, it's like a pet peeve of mine, right? You go to church and the women have to wear head coverings. I don't think that that's an essential. Maybe there are people who might think that's essential, but I don't think so. I don't think Nerses Shnor Ali would have thought that that was an essential. Basically, secondary, how you're dealing with, say, for instance, wearing a head covering. Are you dealing with worshiping by facing the east or facing the west? Is there leeway there? Is there leeway to worship in different forms? Okay, these are secondary items. But in all things, he says, have charity, love. Love for the other person. And that's what's missing out of our formulas. We have resentment. We have hatred. We have bitterness. We have division. And that's the key point where we've got to focus in on, zoom in on, that we can be different. We are different. We are different. We are not the same people. We are not robots. We are different. So can we celebrate those differences? Does that sound like too kumbaya? Does that sound like too much like coming out of another era? Yeah, it does. Because we've lost it. We've lost that feeling. We've sat around and we found more and more reasons to separate ourselves than to unite ourselves. And I'm telling you, it comes back to this Christian idea, and which I've been following up on for how many years now. You can hear it there. That Christianity is about that unity. Christianity is about peace on earth, goodwill towards one another. That was what was heralded the night that Jesus was born. That today something new is coming. There is a newness in the air. That tonight a Savior is born. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Okay, if you don't have that peace, if you don't have that goodwill, we're not following the plan. That's how simple it is. And we've complicated it with many, many, many layers. Now, politics is how you run these things. And you can go into these different ways and do things the way you want to, how you're going to be running the country and all that. But Christianity is outside of politics. And unfortunately, this is now coming into play, not only here in America, but especially in Armenia, where they're trying to find issues between the church and the state. When I first went to Armenia back in 1977, I was very fortunate that my spiritual father, the bishop who ordained me, Archbishop Vacha, took me there personally. He took me, which was the old system, by the way. You know, the bishop would take the candidate to the seminary, and he took me there. And when we got there, he told me something that I've taken with me until today. And he said, basically, this is your country. This is Armenia. The Mount Ararat there is your mountain. It doesn't exist in Armenia today. The border says Turkey, but it is your mountain. And Armenia and Etchmiadzin is the center. This is where Jesus Christ came and said, you will build my church. The first Christian nation started from this place. And he said, today it's under communist rule. Tomorrow it'll be free. At another time it may be under some other regime. But this is always yours. It belongs to you. And I always think about that statement there, you know, that we had that good fortune of knowing that there was a piece of earth that was beyond politics. And it was basically the church that was at the center of that. The Armenian church has been the center, has been the government, basically, in exile many years when we've been outside of our country. It's the church that we've gone to. And it's difficult for people to let go of that, those reins, now that there is an independent or a political structure there. But everything is connected, and just a few days ago, I did one of my daily podcasts about this connection between just about everything, you know. And I wrote there, the basic understanding in Armodoxy is that all things are connected in a universal network of life. Now, I want you to just think about this, how it's connected. Economics tells us about the resources. The resources we need to what? To buy. And in that, we buy a Bible. The Bible defines sin, and then psychology attempts to diminish that sin. Physics explains the movement of the building blocks, which chemistry and biology exploit into physical realities. And then art comes along, and art presents in forms that express ideas, that form ideologies, that philosophy dissects and analyzes. Politics creates the systems that organize these ideologies, and religion is there to ensure the equity of distribution, claiming to have a connection to a higher understanding of fairness. Make sense? I'll put a link on today's show notes. If it does make sense, let me know, because I just think that everything is connected and we're losing it. We're losing it when we start saying, well, this guy's a politician, this guy's a theologian, and this guy's an economist, this guy's a physicist, a scientist. You listen to the podcast, you listen to what Armodoxy is all about. That science is always there. You can't discount science. You can't close your eyes to it. Neither can you close your eyes to the reality that There are things that are mysterious. There are things that we cannot understand. And it's okay to admit that. And it's okay to follow it, to look for those answers. I think that's where science comes in, right? You want to quantify. You want to be able to touch it. You want to be able to understand it. But there are certain things that you can't. The baby that is born to you, and you're just sitting there as in that delivery room. There's this new life that's being put on you, and you're just in tears, emotions that you cannot control. What is that emotion, huh? Don't tell me it's the hormones kicking in. No, it's real emotions. It's from the gut. There's a lot of things that come in life like that, that we have a hard time explaining, and it's okay to say that there is something more. At least it's okay in my life. It has been, and I try to share that with you. During this week, we are right between two celebrations of the cross. The first one is Exaltation, was last week, a big one, and then coming up is Varaka Chach. Important to me, it's the date that I was ordained on, and Varaka Chach, I've been there, and there's just a reality of this beautiful place. And I spoke about these stones that were talking. And one of the things that I want to share with you today is that story of Varaka Chach. And we're going to call it, this is going to be a new format that we're taking on in the next step. I think we are done with doing the songs of the day. I know you loved them. I know the most comments that I got were about the songs of the day. But I think we're getting to a point right now where, yeah, you know, if you can listen to songs, maybe what I'll do is I'll share with you a song in the show notes. So it could be your choice. How about that, okay? It'll be your choice if you want to listen to that song. That's a great idea. Look how it happens, okay? We had decided that we're going to be, because we're doing daily shows now, we're doing daily Armadoxy for today. Every day we're producing shows. We had a couple of next steps that came out in video format. Those were the last two, which were interviews, one with Dr. Sophia Armin and the other one with Tigrana Zakaria. And if you haven't watched those, if you haven't listened to those, please do. But what I was going to say is that the audio ones far exceeded the number of the videos on that. So I'm committed to the audio format, even though we've expanded into a lot of videos. In fact, on Varaka Chach next Sunday, we're going to be starting a Sunday alternative service online, and it's going to be something a little bit different than what you're used to. It comes on at 9 a.m. Pacific time. That's Los Angeles time. And so we've done it at that time, Sunday mornings, so that it'll coincide. Well, not coincide, but it'll make it easier. People on the East Coast can tune in at noontime. Europe will have it in the late afternoon. And then Armenia is still in the run in the evening times. So we're kind of trying to accommodate everybody. 9 a.m. Los Angeles time. You won't want to miss it. That's coming up next week. But our audio is still my prime means of communication. And the next step, it used to be once a week. Now we're doing daily podcasts. So the once a week has become a once a month. It's still cathartic, something I needed to say today that I needed to share with you about the complexion of what's going on here in this country. But let me go to a very small little statement. There is an app, if you've been following along on Epostle, there's a new app that one of our priests, my spiritual brother, Father Messer of Ash, up in San Francisco has developed. It's about fasting and prayer. So you follow this app and it gives you the cues, it gives you the prayers, and it gives you a meditation. So he asked me to do the meditations for the coming week of fasting. I'll have all links on our show notes today to so you could check out all of this, including the app. But it got me to think about what happened at Varak. And this is unusually a new idea for a lot of Christians, because people have heard about the cross. People have not heard about the cross of Vladak. It is uniquely unique to the Armenian Church. So I want to just share with you this little idea, because it was one of the meditations that I had for the series, and we'll end it with that. And like I said, okay, no more song of the day, but there will be a song of the day link in the show notes. So if you miss the song of the day, what you do is you stop it somewhere in the middle of the next step, and you say, this is what Father Voskin picked for me today. And you're going to love today's, okay? I promise you. You are going to love it. Let's just say you'll be skating away on it. All right. This is what comes, I call it the dialect of Vladak. As Jesus entered Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday, the people went to the streets with joy, singing in loud voices, Hosanna, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in earth and glory in the highest. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, we read that the religious elite of the day called Jesus from the crowd and ordered him to rebuke the crowd. But Jesus answered, I tell you that if these people should keep silent, the stones themselves would immediately cry out. Now, there is a small town within the view of Lake Van in western Armenia called Vladak. In the 3rd century, the nun Hedepsime, escaping persecution for her Christian beliefs, hid in the hills of Vladak. In her possession was a piece of the cross of Christ. She hid the fragment on the mountain there, and her story is one of courage and determination. Actually, you know, if you followed along, you know that hers is the story that led to the conversion of Armenia to Christianity. She was basically this one young girl who made it all happen. Today, the village, as well as all of Western Armenia, is occupied. The once beautiful and spiritually active monastery of Vladak is now in shambles. And among the ruins, you could make out the markings of the interior of the church. Small niches where candles once lit the interior are now exposed to the elements, because the roof and its huge dome have reduced to piles of rubble. Next to the foundation stones, which act as a footprint of the Vladak Monastery, are houses occupied by the local villagers. I had an opportunity to visit this area, and we found kids playing outside on the unpaved streets. We struck up a conversation with some of the villagers. One of them invited us into their house. The walls were stones, stuck together with a dry, packed type of mortar. Stones of different colors and different shapes. Imagine this. This is your wall. Different colors, different shapes, indicating a variety of sources and suggesting that they were gathered from different time periods. Some were old, some were newer. And there, right in front of us, on the wall of the house, there were ancient khachkars, cross stones, taken from the monastery that had been torn apart. These were taken there and they were stuck on the walls, like just any other stone, like a brick, to protect the inhabitants of the house from the outside weather conditions. So the destroyed monastery and ruined churches are part of a campaign to erase history and are the final act of destruction following genocide. There's a fantastic book, if you get a chance to read it. I suggest it to all of my listeners. It's called Passage to Ararat. It was written in 1975. And Michael Arlen wrote this, a writer who searches for his roots in Armenia and Western Armenia. He speaks to the erasure of history. He writes, what was it except hatred to say that a people did not exist? That was the plan. It was based on hatred. So the khachkars in that house We're answering back to the silence, just like the Pharisees who said, keep them silent. And Jesus said, no, the rocks will speak. So Khachkars speak to us in a distinct language. It's a different dialect because if you listen carefully, you can always understand the message. Khachkars are the stones that counter the hatred by proclaiming the peace of heaven on earth. Even in destructed form, in the runes, the Khachkars are sharing the divine message of hope and love as an antidote to the hate. Now, it took courage in the time of Christ to speak out for him, a courage that Christ points to the stones, strong and committed. The stones of Varak, specifically the Khachkars, are the witness to that same courage. And I leave you with that meditation today, because we're talking about that courage to speak, but a courage to speak out on what is important, and in all things to do it with love. St. Nerses Schnorr Ali's formula, unity in essentials, liberty in secondary items, and in all things love. God bless you all. We'll be back with the next step soon.
Before getting back to the next step with Father Vazgen, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. The next step is entering homes and communities with a solid message proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. We look forward to your comments and words of encouragement. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations, either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We are excited about this ministry and invite you to share in our enthusiasm. This is Susie wishing you all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Well, there you have our show for this week. I want to invite you to epostle.net, where you'll find all of our programming, and we are expanding daily with new shows, new videos, and I just invite you to get out to the website. Yeah, there's a lot of social media content that you can pick up here and there, but the main bulk of it is right on epostle.net. That's easy to remember, apostle with an E, apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. Hey, I look forward to seeing you there. Make sure you check out today's show notes. You're going to find some other stuff that you can connect to. And don't forget, I did not forget the song of the day. It now appears on the show notes. And that, you were here when that happened. You are part of history today. So on behalf of Susie, our producer, and myself, this is Father Vazgen, inviting you to take the next step with us when we meet again.
Stand by for disclaimer.
And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Epostle.net. Apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe.
Forgot to ask you if you're seeing the same sky as we are. Bye.